Well, may the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. You know, I don't think the innkeeper was a bad guy. I know that growing up in the Methodist church, we were pretty much taught kids what a mean person he was. That here's Jesus and don't give him a place. I don't think they had room, but if you got to hear Bob Goff speak the other night, I really appreciated what he said about the innkeeper. He says, don't you know that later he looked back and thought, man, I wish I'd have made room somehow when he discovered who it was. I'll read a few verses to you. A little bit of the history of Mary of Bethany or Mary Magdalene. Some people think they were two different people, but I don't. This is where Mary has her first encounter with Jesus in this house of full of Pharisees, which is exactly where you want to be if you're a practicing prostitute. That was not... I didn't mean that she'd have customers. I meant that she would have them. Not be accepted. Now, one of the Pharisees was requesting him to dine with him, and he entered the Pharisee's house and reclined at the table. Behold, there was a woman in the city who was a sinner. And when she learned that he was reclining at the table in the Pharisee's house, she brought an alabaster vial of perfume. And standing behind him at his feet, weeping, she began to wet his feet with her tears, and kept wiping them with the hair of her head, and kissing his feet, and anointing them with perfume. And, you know, Jesus said about her that she loved much because she had been forgiven much. And the next chapter speaks of a woman who had seven demons cast out of her, Mary Magdalene. And I think in that encounter, at the feet of Jesus, worshiping him, loving him, she went through a powerful time of deliverance. In John chapter 12, this is after Lazarus was raised from the dead, and I believe, again, Mary Bethany or Mary of Magdalene was also Lazarus' sister. Jesus, therefore, 6 days before the Passover, came to Bethany, where Lazarus was, whom Jesus had raised from the dead. And they made him supper there, and Martha was serving, but Lazarus was one of those reclining at the table with him. And Mary, therefore, took a pound of very costly, genuine spikenard oil, and anointed the feet of Jesus and wiped his feet with her hair. And the house was filled with the fragrance of the ointment. So there we have Mary again at the feet of Jesus, worshiping him, ministering to him. In Luke 10, story of Martha and Mary, and I don't want to read all the scriptures, but Martha was upset because she was serving all the guests, but Mary was listening to the Lord seated at his feet. And Jesus said that he celebrated her and said, there are only a few things that are necessary, really only one, and Mary has chosen the good part, and it will not be taken from her. And then in Mark 14, this is where Mary broke the alabaster vial. The other place is she was just pouring oil from it. And they're in this, I'll just read these verses. Mark 14, 1. Now the feast of the Passover and the unleavened bread was 2 days off. The chief priests and scribes were seeking how to seize him by stealth and to kill him, and they were saying, not during the festival, lest there be a riot of the people. And while he was in Bethany at the home of Simon the leper. Now, Jesus is awesome. Had dinner with Pharisees, and one of his chief followers was a prostitute, Simon the leper. And while he was in Bethany at the home of Simon the leper and reclining at the table, there was a woman with an alabaster vial of costly perfume of pure nard. She broke it and poured it over his head. And then, in John 19, without turning there for time's sake, in John 19, the resurrection, Matthew speaks of there being two women there. John 19 speaks of Mary, but the point being is that Mary, when Jesus, she's not sure who she's talking to, she thinks it's the gardener, and then Jesus speaks her name, Mary, and she falls at his feet and clings to him. Now, if you're a CTKer, one of the things about our noon Eucharist is that sometimes they're a mini version of what you're going to get to hear on a Sunday. My personality type is, though, if it's something that ministers to me a lot, I can't wait till the Sunday that I'm going to do it. I want to go ahead and speak it out because I think out loud. So if you're a CTKer, you'll hear this at a bigger version soon. Coming soon. This is one of those, like, you go to the movies and then they show the little coming soon. This is a coming soon word. You know the story in John chapter 11 about Lazarus and Mary and Martha, and Jesus loved them both, and he had that sent word to Jesus he was somewhere other than where they were in Bethany and let him know he was really sick. But instead of going immediately, he waited for 4 days and has this conversation with the disciples. You'll get that full version on a Sunday morning. And he dies. And so Jesus shows up 4 days after he's dead. And when he shows up, the first person that greets him is Martha. And she says to him, if you'd been here, my brother would have lived. And Jesus talks about being the resurrection of life. But Mary, who had been so close to him, this one who had this encounter that sat at his feet, who was always at his feet worshiping him, who broke the alabaster vial at his feet, Mary doesn't even come out because I think she's confused and offended because Jesus could have healed him. And you go, yeah, but Jesus did. He raised him from the dead. Yeah, but they also went through 4 days of grieving the head of the household. That happened. You couldn't erase that. That was painful. And finally, after Martha talks to Jesus, she goes back to the house and tells Mary, Jesus is here, because he had not been there. And where had he been? So she runs out of the house. She goes to him, and it says in verse 32, therefore, when Mary came where Jesus was, she saw him and did what she does. She fell at his feet, saying, and for Anna, present tense verb, so she was saying this repeatedly to him, Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. And when Jesus therefore saw her weeping, and the Jews who came with her also weeping, he was deeply moved in his spirit, and it says here trouble, but it's really the word, and he was stirred, and said, where have you laid him? And they said to him, Lord, come and see. And Jesus wept. So I saw something here I've never really seen before, and I believe this is really true, especially in light of Mary's history, is that I believe that Mary falls at Jesus' feet, and she's worshiping him, but she's still asking him questions, that full of questions that are unanswered, and feel in the midst of pain that's not gone away. She doesn't know that Jesus is going to raise him from the dead. I would have kind of assumed that if Jesus showed up 4 days afterwards, he was not going to heal him, because everybody else had ever known he'd healed. But she's worshiping him at his feet with questions that are unanswered, confused, and in the midst of pain. And yet she's worshiping him. And I believe that what it says about Jesus, that he was troubled, he was moved in his spirit, and he was stirred. I believe he was stirred because Jesus was used to people worshiping him when he performed miracles. I mean, Jesus loves it when we worship him, period, right? When he does things, when he breaks through, when he gives us the thing we're looking for, when he comes in just in the nick of time, we worship him, and that's good. But what really stirs his heart, what causes him to weep, and the word there for Mary weeping and the word for Jesus is the word wailing. She wasn't quietly sobbing. And in the midst of wailing, she's worshiping him. In the midst of unanswered questions, she's worshiping him. In the midst of confusion, she's worshiped him. And it stirred his heart and caused him to weep. I don't think he was weeping just because she was weeping. I think he wept because she was worshiping him in the midst of her weeping. And somehow, that response moved him to do something that had never been seen before. You know, we've said this before. Here on this side, before we go to heaven, we are able to love Jesus in ways we'll never get to love him in heaven. In heaven, there's not going to be any pain. There's not going to be any unanswered questions. There's not going to be any confusion. But here on this side is the only opportunity you and I will ever have in all of eternity to worship him and love him in the midst of pain and in the midst of confusion and with still unanswered questions. And it stirs his heart. And it moves him to do things you may never even expected. I spent my morning weeping in my time with the Lord thinking about that. And how often in the midst of unanswered questions and in the midst of fear or in the midst of confusion or pain, I just rode the pain out until things cleared up instead of worshiping him. Because that stirs his heart more than anything else. We want to say we love Jesus because we have feelings for him. Well, I think Mary loved him here more than anybody else I know of in Scripture. That was what so moved him about her. So you want to give him a gift this year for Christmas, and you're going through something, and you don't have all the answers to it, and it's painful, and there's confusion, worship him. Just keep worshiping him. And maybe not even in that situation, but I bet you it'll move him to do something beyond your imagination. But even if it doesn't, she didn't do it expecting him to do anything, but just because she loved him. Amen? In the name of the Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Amen.